from KQED.
History buffs could tell you that Prop 8 wasn't the first ballot measure targeting the rights of gays and lesbians in California. In 1978, voters rejected Prop 6, also known as the Briggs Initiative, which would have banned gay teachers from classrooms across the state. One of the leading voices against Prop 6 was San Francisco Supervisor Harvey Milk, the first openly gay elected official in the nation. In this clip from the documentary The Times of Harvey Milk, you hear him on election night in 1978 describing the key to gay rights going forward.
Every gay person must come out. As difficult as it is, you must tell your immediate family, you must tell your relatives, you must tell your friends, if indeed they are your friends. You must tell your neighbors. You must tell the people you work with. You must tell the people in the stores you shop in.
Milk was assassinated 3 weeks later, along with San Francisco Mayor George Moscone. And if the gay rights movement has its Martin Luther King, Milk is probably him. To mark the 35th anniversary of his death, a compilation of Milk's writings, speeches, and campaign memorabilia has been published. I spoke recently to its editors, Jason Black from the University of Alabama and Syracuse University's Charles Morris. Jason Black and Chuck Morris, welcome.
Thank you.
Let me begin with you, Jason. How did this project come about?
Well, Chuck and I had been teaching about Harvey Milk for quite a while. Chuck since the late 90s in his social change classes. And me as a doctoral student, I had taught a public address course of social movement leaders in one of Milk's speeches, the Hope Speech, which is pretty popular and famous. The famous one that's in the back of Randy Schultz, mayor of Castro Street, was really the only extant one out there. And we had always had a suspicion individually before we even knew each other that there was more out there. I mean, there can't be a foundational person to LGBTQ history and American history like Harvey Milk without some kind of trove, some kind of corpus of discourse out there.
And you say in the foreword, or one of you did, that you were surprised that it really wasn't out there so much, Chuck. It was the Hope Speech about, you know, you have to give hope to people living in places like Altoona, Pennsylvania, and
That's
sort
right.
of thing. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot of speeches or writings of his.
We were surprised just how few of the speeches were in circulation. And so when we saw the index of the archive that was finally released in 2003 at the San Francisco Public Library, we were wide-eyed with the possibilities. But even then, we weren't sure what was there until we got here in 2007 to take the first look. And we were amazed at just how much there was.
So most people, to the extent that they know Harvey Milk, especially outside of San Francisco, probably know him through Sean Penn's portrayal of mm-hmm. him in the movie Milk, perhaps the documentary that won also an Oscar. What do you think, Chuck Morris, the archives in the book add to what we know and what we think about Harvey Milk?
We think that this book adds to, accompanies, complements, extends what those pieces do.
Jason, what would you add?
That's one of the interesting things about an archival project is that we have a universal storyline or a master storyline and narrative in some way that gets popularized, sometimes glamorized through Hollywood depictions, right, and accounts. But getting to the actual discourse, so the words themselves as uttered by an individual like Harvey Milk, someone that is inimitable as a hero, a personal hero and a political hero, looking at the words on paper, right, the smears of the ink on speech drafts and almost being over his shoulder adds so much contour and dimension to the macro story so that we know, for instance, that he transforms from a populist to a sort of gay-centered and LGBT-centered politician and activist, and then he bridges those together as an elected official, et cetera. But it's really, really neat to see that played out in the discourse as he evolves.
Well, and the other thing is that I think Milk understood his own legacy to the extent that there would be one as teaching us by example how to make arguments. So he understood the symbolism, but he was an issues-driven, by his own insistence, an issues-driven activist and politician. And so this archive, for instance, lays out the ways in which Milk makes a case for greater housing for the poor people of San Francisco or greater gay power in terms of economic might. You don't get that through the very powerful symbolic portrayals. You get that by reading the arguments as he made them.
When Harvey Milk was elected in 1977, he was the first openly gay person to win an election in the United States. Today, there are too many to count. The Speaker of the State Assembly in California is openly gay. There are many, many members of the legislature. There's a U.S. Senator. There are several other members of the House. Jason Black, what do you think they owe to Harvey Milk, if anything?
Right. Well, he was a pathfinder. I mean, that probably sounds pretty obvious, right? But he took a stand and stepped out at a time when it wasn't incredibly popular. Now, granted, he was in a place and in a space where it was easier to do that. But
still more risk than you might
imagine.
But
more risk than you might imagine.
Obviously, right? He paid his life.
And he paid his life for that. Absolutely. Absolutely. But he carved the way. You know, he paved the way and carved out a space for that. And so in many ways, he's sort of the giant upon whose shoulders folks have stood.
Yeah. Chuck Morris, what would you add?
In part, that he insisted that he was elected not only because he was gay, but because he took stands candidly and openly, publicly on issues. So that I think the reminder he would offer to those that he helped pave the way for would be the visibility politics of your being gay and having been elected isn't enough, that your job is to make the world a better place for GLBT people.
Is Harvey Milk, do you think, Jason, still relevant to young people today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the hope trope that he's popular for resonates. And the thing with Harvey Milk is he's one of few huge icons that people can draw upon in contemporary debates and contemporary struggles. And so if you think about Black liberation, for instance, I mean, you can name tons, everyone from King to Shuttlesworth to X to Carmichael, et cetera, down the line. There aren't really a lot for LGBTQ youth, especially those who are on the ground doing grassroots work. And so in many ways, he becomes not just the face and the name, but the motivation. Mm-hmm. It's, as he mentioned in the Hope speech, he says, you know, my election here and my presence and prescience is a green light. It means a green light has been lit for other folks to move forward. And that's a part of his political will and his understanding of his legacy.
All right. Well, the book is called Harvey Milk, An Archive of Hope. Harvey Milk's Speeches and Writings, edited by Jason Edward Black and Charles Morris. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.